I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, yeah. Podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 655. This is your host, Danny. And we have a special interview on this episode of GTR. We have former wrestler from the WWE, AJ Mendez Brooks. She's here to promote her book called Crazy Is My Superpower. Been reading it now for a couple of days. Great book. And you could also check out her audiobook that's out there too, because I heard she's a huge podcast fan. Huge podcast fan. So that's pretty awesome. But in her book, she talks about a lot about her life, mental illness. Also, growing up in New Jersey, talked about a lot, like first time watching wrestling and a lot of video games. Oh my God. Sega Genesis, PlayStation, and so on. We talked about all that stuff during the interview, and I had a blast. And plus, the cool thing, too, we also got a couple of GTR community members to ask questions in our special edition of fan mail. So that was a lot of fun. Just want to give a shout out to AJ. Thank you so much to be on the podcast. That was a lot of fun. So next week, we're going to be together, the whole crew and everything. We're going to talk about the new Call of Duty trailer, everything. Oh, my God. Yes. Can you believe E3 is coming very, very soon? We're going to talk about that. Maybe some misleading predictions. We're going to keep you posted, but stay tuned. Stay tuned. Also, for those that live here in the Miami, Florida area or close to the South Florida area, we're going to have a special screening of The Messengers, a podcast documentary, Friday, May 5th at 7:30 here in Miami, Florida. The location is called Manuel Artime Theater, 900 Southwest 1st Street, Miami, Florida, 33130. For more information, head over to Gamertag Radio. Paris, we have a sponsor for this week, right?
Yes, our sponsor this week is Dell, and more specifically, Dell Gaming. Dell Gaming creates machines to make every experience more intense and real. From powerful Dell Gaming PCs with Intel Core processors to the ultimate Alienware VR-ready experience, there's a PC designed to bring your best game at every level. Dell Gaming creates machines to make every experience more intense and real. From powerful Dell Gaming PCs with Intel Core processors to the ultimate Alienware VR-ready experience, there's a PC designed to bring your best game at every level. Because the best feature of a gaming machine is the power to make you forget it's there. Don't just play game. Visit Dell.com/gaming to learn more. That's Dell.com/gaming.
Your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Thank you, Dell, for sponsoring this episode of Gamertag Radio. And remember, guys, send your questions. Send your questions. Keep on, because I love the conversation. You know, we've been getting a lot of questions about Scorpio, a lot of questions about HD TVs, 4K, everything. So keep it up. It could be email or voicemail. All right, so let's play this special interview with AJ Mendez, and we'll be right back after this.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right. right, so we have AJ Mendez here on the show. AJ, once again, thanks for joining here on the podcast to promote your book.
Thank you for having me.
I've been reading for your book now for a couple of weeks now, and it's called Crazy Is My Superpower. So, AJ, tell us a little bit about this book.
So I just wanted to write a book my whole life, really. It was kind of this goal I wasn't sure I could actually reach. I thought it would, it would be something way further down the line. But when I knew I was wrapping up my wrestling career, it just felt right to kind of go back and open up about these stories that I feel like can help people who are listening right now to, you know, if I have their attention, I might as well, give them something worthwhile to listen to.
And was it hard for you at first to write this, or was there any moment that maybe you had some stuff written up and you're like, all right, I decided I'm going to take this out? Was it difficult for you to write all this?
Oh yeah. There's definitely like different versions of the book where, you know, I was a little bit more reserved, and I just felt if I'm asking people to start talking about mental health and trying to shatter the stigma and get people to kind of casually talk about it and be brave enough to talk about it, I had to be brave first and kind of put my money where my mouth is. And it was a little scary for sure to share some of this stuff, but I felt like it was worth it. And to see how people are reacting to it, and to have people at signings come up to me and tell me that, you know, that I've convinced them to go to therapy or to even just start talking to their family members about what they're going through. It's all been so worth it.
Yeah, that's one thing that while reading it, it reminded me a lot when I'm originally from New York. Now I'm here in Miami, but it reminded me a lot when growing up, you know, my parents, they got divorced when I was in the early age and stuff. And we used to move a lot around too. Like, it reminded me a lot about that while reading your book and everything. And one of the things that really helped me back then, you know, besides how to go take therapy and everything, video games helped me out a lot back then for me. And it's the same thing for you too, right?
Yeah.
So was there any moment that you remember playing a game for the first time? What console was it? What games? And why was it so important to you to play all these games while going through a lot of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, growing up, you know, there was nothing that was stable. And people read this book and they're like, oh my God, you live in how many different apartments? And how many times did you get evicted? And there's a lot of people that don't know that is its own world. Like, so many of us go through that. You know, and so that's been cool to have people kind of relate to that. But, you know, I didn't have this like stability or someplace, you know, safe to rest my head at night. And so I found comfort and solace through these, you know, these fictional worlds where I could have the power and I could kind of escape my real world for a little bit and feel strong. I'm trying to think of like the first game I ever played. I'm not sure, but I do remember like Mortal Kombat being like one of the first ones, like Samurai Showdown, and these games just making me feel like I had a place to belong and to kind of lose myself in. And I just never lost that feeling. Even to this day, if I'm stressed, that's what I do.
And I know in your book, you mentioned that you moved to Puerto Rico. You were there like for a while and stuff. How was that change, you know, from being living here in the States and then going over there in Puerto Rico? How was that for you?
Going there was amazing because I'd never, you know, been around like trees and grass and, you know, I didn't have that in my neighborhood. I didn't have, like, you know, parks I could go to and feel safe in. And so just to be in like nature was, you know, some people take that stuff for granted, but for me, it was, you know, this adventure. And that was maybe one of like the best memories of my childhood. And, I talk in the book about, you know, coming back, to New Jersey and that transition being so strange because I wanted to help all the animals I would find and, you know, ended up getting attacked by a stray cat. And not really, you know, there's such a difference between when you're one with nature and when you're, you know, in a concrete jungle. It was quite the culture shock for sure.
Now, tell us a little bit about, like, you know, starting to get into wrestling, like how that started for you back then when you were young.
I was a fan my whole life and really fell in love with it because my brother loved it. And I was a little tomboy and I just copied everything he did. And to me, it was like video games come to life. You know, there were these real heroines that, you know, would just dress up in spandex and fight crime and fight the bad guy. That was really cool for me. And at 12 years old, I thought, okay, that's what I wanted. That's what I'm going to do. And I just kind of took a million tiny steps to do it.
And so was there any matches that while you were young that you were like, all right, this is it. I think I'm going to become a wrestler too in the future. Was there any cool matches from back then?
I do remember there being like Iron Man matches back in the day that I really loved. Like those like the hour long ones. I can't remember who's like, there's probably like I'm trying to remember who's in them. My favorite growing up was Eddie Guerrero. And I loved that he kind of reminded me of everybody in my family. And he was he could be a good guy or a bad guy or something in between. Like that was really interesting to me. So he was one that inspired me to like say, okay, I want to kind of have that character. Particular matches, I don't know, but I know storylines. I mean, Trish and Lita was so formative for my generation of female wrestlers. And then getting a little bit older, I just love to see like those girls kind of evolve.
Yeah. Speaking of Lita, I remember a couple years ago, I found this old video of you where you were young meeting Lita for the first time. How was that?
Really?
How
cool.
Was that? And where was that?
That was in New York. That was at Times Square. I think it's called The World. I think it's like, I don't know what it is now, but it's not there anymore. And it was like the first wrestler I ever met. And like in that moment, like she could have like, that was a make or break moment. If she was mean or wasn't like so awesome as she was at that time, like who knows if I would have been a wrestler. So that really taught me like, okay, like these signings, you can't take them for granted, you know, and that was just 30 seconds of my an interaction, but it helped me so much. And it made me feel like, okay, you know, like this person is cool and I want to do that going forward. And so when I get to meet these girls and, you know, I have those 30 seconds with them and they're, you know, they're crying like I was, it's a cool full circle moment. And it really makes me realize I have to take care of them and give them like the best 30 seconds they can, you know, experience. And I try to do that and you just kind of hope that it keeps paying forward. And those girls that come in line and they're like, I'm going to be a wrestler one day. Like I believe them, you know, because I meant it when I was that age.
Yeah. Cause you never know. Right.
And you never know.
Checking out like all these short videos or pictures of your fans going to like your different book tours. It's the same thing. It reminds me of that when you were young, meeting Lita, like that type of vibe. Right?
Yeah, it's really cool and full circle. And it, you know, you have to take these kids seriously. Like you have to say, okay, like if that's your dream, like that might stick with you. You might get over it in a year or you might be like me. And, you know, I meant it, you know, obviously, you know, 12 and like, I was serious. And I, you know, every step I took was to get there. So it is cool to kind of have that moment where like now I'm behind the table and I need to meet girls and it's like, okay, like, you know, who knows what kind of superstars they're going to be one day. I hope for the best.
Definitely. Well, one thing I was while reading your book, I was laughing because you mentioned that the reason why Princess Peach gets captured is because she wants all this attention, right?
Yeah,
so how you came up with this theory? How you came up with this theory back then?
I just needed to find a way to joke about how much I don't appreciate the old days of just, you know, the princess needs to get rescued and you have this kind of an iconic figure in that is Princess Peach, just always meeting Mario. So I just needed to kind of make fun of that a little bit. But I enjoy the self-rescuing princesses, you know?
Now, I didn't know that you're a huge fan of Wendy Lee.
Yeah.
She's like a legend voice actress, for those that don't know. And that's how you came up with your name, right? So how you heard about her?
Yeah, I was I had a friend in high school that sort of introduced me into anime, and I really started to fall in love with it. And one of the first animes that just kind of knocked me on my butt was Cowboy Bebop. And to this day, it's like my all-time favorite. And her character in that show is Faye Valentine, and I just connected to her. She's sort of this like gypsy that, you know, doesn't have this particular place that she can call home, and she just wanders around and doesn't really find the places where she belongs. And I just really connected to her, and I love that character so much. And her voice actress Wendy Lee is just so phenomenal, and I started to stop, you know, watching anything that she was in because I thought her voice was so amazing. And so just, you know, I loved the way that sounded, and I think we gave like a list of names that you can like choose from for, you know, when you're choosing your wrestling name, and I wanted that. I wanted to represent that.
I know you also want to maybe one day do some voice work, right, for like video games and anime. If so, which one you would like to maybe work on if you had an opportunity to do it?
I don't know. I mean, I've got to do, I did like a Scooby-Doo movie, and I was like, okay, this is, you know, this is way harder than I ever thought it would be. And
it looks easy, right? It looks easy at first.
You just, you know, oh, you're reading. Yeah. Like, it is so much work. And then I did the audiobook for my book, and it was like 3 days of like 9 to 5 just sitting there and reading. And I realized it is the most like task. I don't know how they do that. I don't know how that's what they do every day. Like, I was tired from talking so much. So I mean, it'd be cool one day for sure, but I have so much respect. I don't think it's something you just jump into. I think there's a lot of training involved. But it definitely gave me, it was cool to kind of see what, you know, I'm obsessed with voice actors, and I think it's cool to see like the behind the scenes of that.
Now that you know, finished with this book and it's been getting great reviews, great feedback, and a lot of people have been buying it. Do you see yourself doing this again in the future? Because it looks like you've been having a lot of fun telling your story, you know, to your fans and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, it's been one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. And it's maybe what I'm most proud of in my life. And so it's scary to kind of like try to do it again, because it's been like 2 years of like nonstop work, and it's been emotional. It's this kind of like stressful, emotional process of putting your life out there. But I loved it so much, and I fell in love with it. And, you know, I am working on the second one now. And I don't know if I want to even stop it too. I'm so in love with it. So yeah, we're doing it again for sure. And then maybe more after, who knows, but I love writing.
So how you came up with the name, Crazy Is My Superpower?
So it's actually a funny story. Like I don't know how funny, but it was sort of by accident. Book had a particular title and the word crazy was in it. And we knew that kind of rubbed people the wrong way. And I like that. I enjoy, you know, kind of ruffling feathers. And so when we were kind of putting the book out there and pitching it, I still thought, you know, it was important to kind of preface it and say, okay, like here, you know, I know this is in the title and here's why. And so I wrote this little letter to go with, you know, the book proposal. And the last line of the letter is, you know, it's basically, I'm not afraid to be called crazy. Crazy is my superpower. Basically just telling people, like, I don't take this as this derogatory word. I'm using that. It's no longer a weapon against me. It's my secret weapon. I own it. And so it was just kind of this preface to tell all the people who were going to be looking at the book while we were shopping it around, you know, hey, don't be offended. And it just, it stuck out. And that's what my editor and my agent were just like, no, that's the title. Like, that's it right there. Just like, that's really owning it. So yeah, just, it was a part of something I wrote and we just kind of fell in love with it.
Have you ever like talked about mental illness, like to your old friends or coworkers when you used to work at, you know, used to do this whole wrestling stuff behind the scenes? Or you kept that like private for a very long time?
It was definitely something I kept just for myself for so long because I wasn't sure, you know, it's this thing that when it's in your family and when you go through the struggles of it, in society, there's just this negative connotation to it where people judge you and people fear what they don't understand. And so it definitely was not something that was out there. And the whole purpose of just kind of really putting everything out there now, is so other people don't have to feel that way. It's so we can start kind of talking casually about it and be comfortable with it and shaking that stigma off. And it's something I know exists because it existed for me, because I did have years where I was ashamed of it. So now is the time to just embrace it and be proud of it. And I'd like to be the first voice doing that for, you know, in this particular wrestling world. And it's, the response has been amazing. And I've definitely talked to a lot of, my friends that I've had for years and the conversations are now starting. And I think that's so cool.
That's good because I think you're going to change a lot of people's lives. Like, you know, poverty, they feel the same way. They don't want to like let that out, you know, but now by them reading this book, there's probably going to change their minds and probably they're going to get more help and be more open about it and just have the conversation out there, you know, because I think it's going to help a lot of people.
I hope so. Thank you. That's my goal for sure.
So one thing before we go to the, we have a lot of questions from the fans here for you, but I know you travel a lot. Are you playing anything now? Like any video games that you're playing currently right now?
So I'm like way behind in because I've been working on this for so long. Like I am playing The Sims on my computer because I can bring that with me everywhere. I'm waiting for the next generation of the Switch because I first gen those creep me out because, you know, there's always problems. You have to download all the shit. And so I'm kind of hanging off and I will jump on that because that would be great while traveling. But I think that's the last game I'm so way behind is actually I downloaded the DLC for The Witcher. And I just bought the newer Tomb Raider that came out like last year, just came out for like PlayStation, I think. So that's what I'm working on now. So I'm way behind.
that's cool. I have the Switch and let me say it's a lot of fun. I've been playing a lot of Mario Kart 8, which comes out on Friday. So
oh, really?
It's a big time. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot
have you played
of fun,
Zelda
a lot
yet?
Fun. Yeah, I love Zelda. Oh my God. Greatest Zelda of all time, I think. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Like, okay. I find it really difficult compared to like the first one, but it's very different. It reminds me a lot of like kind of like The Witcher, kind of like that, because it's a lot of quests, a lot of things to do. Yeah, you will like it. Yeah, I think you will like it.
All right, it's gonna happen. I'm just
there
always
you go.
Behind.
All right.
Like I found Skyrim like 4 years after it came out, so like I'm always behind in games. They're definitely not trendy.
Actually, Skyrim is coming out for the Switch. But yeah, it's coming out.
Ooh,
for the Switch.
Okay. I can deal with that.
Yeah. Right, AJ, it's time for fan mail. Yep.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
AJ, so we have a couple questions here from the fans. So we're going to go over the first one. This is from Jesse here in Miami.
Hi, this is Jesse from Miami. Is there any one match, divas or otherwise, that you would say influenced you into wanting to go into the business?
I think for my generation, if you ask any girl that's in the business now, like what shaped them, it was definitely that Trish, Lita, Stephanie, Ivory, Jacqueline era. There's something so magical about that, you know? So that was definitely what started the love of wrestling for sure.
All right, this is another voicemail from Dan, all over from New York City.
Hey AJ, congratulations on the success of the book. I just want to ask, What was your favorite moment in the ring and your favorite moment as general manager, which was one of the most unique, cool, fun general managerships in wrestling history?
I think my favorite moment as general manager was it was actually the tiniest moment, but I thought it was so well done. It was the night that first day as general manager, I think I had to come out and do five or six different little segments, and it was just such a whirlwind of a day, and had to buy my suit that morning, and had all these people picking it out for me, and so that day was just so much fun and so memorable. But a particular moment when Daniel Bryan is walking up the ramp and all of security had him and they're bringing him out of the building, or I can't remember what the situation was, but there's just a cool moment of him walking up the ramp and then me looking down at him, and it's this power switch after, a year of him just torturing me. And it's I finally got the upper hand. And it's very literal. I'm at the top of the ramp and he's beneath me. And it was just a cool, it was really nicely directed. And so, the drama of that was so cool to me. And so I thought that was the coolest general manager moment for sure.
Any moment in the ring too? Any favorite moments?
Oh God. There's so many. I mean, I would have to say, winning the title for sure for the first time, was awesome. Yeah. That was, 14 years of hard work, and then it all comes to fruition in one, 20-minute match or however long it was. And that was it was an amazing moment, mostly just because I was okay, I want a nap now. That was 14 years of hard work. Let me sleep.
A dream come true, right?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So this is from Michael, all the way from Miami.
Hey, Godfrey. It's Michael from Miami. This is a question for AJ Mendez. Hashtag Give Divas a Chance, from a fan's perspective, was a catalyst for the Divas Revolution and paved the way for the prominence of the women's division to date. What else would you like to see improved for the female athletes in professional wrestling industry today? And is there any chance we can see you back in the WWE and compete again? Hopefully the answer is yes.
I hope the girls are happy, and I hope that that they're on an equal playing field. I hope that they're getting the same screen time as the guys, and that they're getting the same paycheck as the guys. So if that's the case, then that's all I could ever ask for. For me, I think that, like I said in the book, my career is just tied up in a nice little tidy bow, and it feels kind of perfect and done. But I'm being very careful to not use the word never.
All right. All right, so this is we got two more left, two more. All right, so this is from Phoenix, from all the way from Baltimore.
Hey, Gamertag Radio crew, it's Phoenix of the Phoenix Podcast. I am very excited to ask AJ Lee. We know normally all the male wrestlers get background stories and whatnot about how they came into the industry, but I was wondering, how did you get started in professional wrestling, and what are you most proud of during your time in your professional wrestling career?
I got started around 18 or 19 by just looking up wrestling schools. I just Googled, whatever I could find, any information I could find. And there's some sketchy ones out there, or, there could be some cool ones out there where you have people who have knowledge and can help you. And I got very lucky. And I don't think they're around anymore. But I trained, at this little school for 2 years, and I did the indies, and then I, eventually tried out. So that was the, kind of the process, those tiny little steps to get to the big dream. And I can't remember what the second part of that was. I'm sorry.
Proudest moment in your wrestling career?
In my career? I think my proudest moment is those moments at signings when little girls would come up to me, and they're wearing sensible shoes and big t-shirts and shorts that you can get at Target, and it's they have embraced this sort of casual style, and and they embrace being different, and they find that, you know, being weird can be a special thing, and they tell me that my character has taught them that, and that there's no prouder moment in my life than those moments.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, last one. This is from Dylan.
What's up, GTR? My name is Dylan. Calling for a question for AG. Question is, when you were working in the ring as a diva, favorite other diva, opposite diva to work with? I'd love to know your answer. Thanks for letting me ask a question.
I got really lucky, and it was always fun. Any storyline I was in with the girls was easy and fun. And I mean, very selfishly, my favorite was Caitlin, because she's one of my best friends. And when you work with a friend, you can, you know, you can hit each other a little bit harder, and you can, you know, and you apologize later. It's okay. You're friends. You can deal with it. And you just really, like, you love each other, and you look out for each other, and you want to make the other one look good. And so when both people are very supportive, the end result is that much better. So I definitely say Caitlin.
Awesome. Well, AJ, just want to say it was an honor to interview you. You know, big fan. You know, I can't wait for your second book or any future things happening in the future. But, you know, I just want to say thanks a lot for being on the show, and great job on the book. And for those listening, make sure to go to your local bookstore or go online and search for Crazy Is My Superpower. And if you like the audiobook, she did an amazing job too. You could get that online too. So thanks a lot, AJ.
Thank you so much.
And hopefully you will get the Nintendo Switch.
soon.
All right. Awesome. Bye. Thanks a lot, AJ.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back. Great interview. Let us know your feedback. Shout out to AJ Mendez. Now, the past couple of days, I've been playing a lot of Mario Kart and also the new game that just came out a couple of days ago, Puyo Puyo Tetris for the Nintendo Switch. I've been having a blast with this, and hopefully I'll get to play with some of our GTR community members, because I know we always been talking about, you know, playing Mario Kart and a couple of Nintendo Switch games and Discord chat. Make sure to join if you are not a member of our Discord group channel. Send us an email. We definitely will invite you so you can meet other community members, and let's set up some game nights. Play some online games with all consoles, PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox. I've been playing a lot of Mario Kart on my Nintendo Switch, and I created a tournament page. If you get Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, make sure to go online and click tournaments in the game. And here's the number. So you can, and others can also join and be part of the tournament. We'll play it. It resets every week. And we're going to have a great time. We'll play with other online members and also with a computer too. So here's the number. Make sure to write this down. And once you get Mario Kart, join our tournament page. 4500-6907-7547. I'm going to repeat that one more time. 4500-6907-7547. Let us know once you join, and we'll play online and play against other people too, man. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait until everybody gets the new Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. By the way, in my opinion, is the best Mario Kart game ever created, period. So many things to do. Online is smooth. Battle mode is back. It's legit. Love it. All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback, or go to play.it/gamertag, and you can listen to the episodes over there too. And you can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directories.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at
786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we'll be back this Monday. We're going to have a lot of things to talk about, roundtable discussions, everything. So stay tuned only here on Gamer Tag Radio. Until next time, we're out.
Thanks for listening to Gamer Tag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.